My guest today is Chris Ontiveros. Chris and I worked together in the Air Force for a while, and he has since retired after 21 years to pursue his passion as a business owner. And he has created My GMFD Gear, where he sells patriotic apparel. You can find awesome t-shirts that are veteran-related, funny. They sell baby clothes. If you want to get some patriotic baby clothes, it's a good place to go. I actually bought some stuff for my kids, unknowing that he actually created it. So, pretty cool. You can check out his website at mygmfdgear.com.
It's beautiful. I love it. And I told my aunt that too. I said, you know what? I said, we're not going to have to worry about the 2020 election. We're going to have to worry about the 2024 election, because Democrats are already, they're going to crawfish here shortly. Yeah. And they're far from it. They're far from crawfishing right now.
They got nobody.
Nothing.
They got nothing.
Yeah. So who are they going to put forward that hasn't put their foot in their mouth? Or, I mean, it's just...
Trump's untouchable.
Yeah.
He's untouchable.
I find it hilarious because...
He spins everything. You know, you can't win against him. What are they going to do? Just put up like Biden?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, we already see what he's doing.
Have you heard of this Q Anonymous thing?
Q Anonymous.
Q, like,
Q Anonymous,
Q?
No.
Dude, you might be into this. I'm going to break this down for you real quick. We're live, by the way, so it's just
great.
So, yeah, Q Anonymous is started like 2 years ago, right? So Q is the highest level classification you can have for top secret clearance. It's a Q level clearance. It's like nuclear stuff, right? It's as high up there as you can get. So on anonymous message boards like 4chan, 8chan, and Reddit, guys started posting information as Q and talking about like politics and Trump and how Trump's got it all figured out and how he's just manipulating everybody. And just watch, you know, just watch, have faith, just watch. And in over 2 years, there's been 3,000 of these posts almost kind of predicting the future, which is crazy to think. Yeah, but the whole message of Q is that the Patriots are in control. And so everything you see, just assume it's going to be a distraction, because Trump's got some guys in critical places, and they're playing 4D chess against the Democrats and the liberals and the Hollywoods, you know, the world.
Yeah.
And the big money bankers of the world. And he's got their number, and slowly but surely he's, you know, calling them to task.
Great day.
So you heard about that Epstein guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that Epstein guy might be the most connected guy in the world. So he's a billionaire finance type guy, and he's connected with Hollywood stars, musicians, politicians, both Republican, Democrat, and international, English royalty. So he went down for child sex trafficking. Trump hates his ass.
All right. I'm surprised he hasn't committed suicide. He's on suicide watch, though.
He did try, but I don't think he really tried. I think what happened, and this was on the internet, I read this, I don't know if it's true or not, is that they let some dudes in there who just beat the piss out of this guy and gave him a taste of his own medicine, because they found out he was into like messing with kids.
Yeah.
And you know how it goes
and
in
that's,
prison.
Yep.
What goes around comes around.
Yep. Turn your back and hey.
Yeah,
that's
so
good.
I heard that they just let those guys in there and they just put it to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I heard.
Nice. I mean, that happens. If anybody goes to jail for that, I'm assuming that that's exactly what happens. Hey, guards will turn their back.
Yep.
Let a couple of people in.
Mm-hmm.
Get their ass whooped and call it a day. You know what I mean? Oh, hey, how did they get in there?
But you this know? Guy, Epstein, you know, he had that island in the Caribbean.
Yes.
There's some weird stuff going on in that island. So on that island, he had a temple with these statues of like these gold statues of birds. And the temple is based off a mosque that's in Aleppo in Syria. And it had like a gold dome on it. And they think that this was where he was taking kids. And it was like a ritualistic thing.
Really?
Not just the simple, hey, I'm into 15-year-olds, but more like some occult type stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he had a submarine. And there's a picture of Stephen Hawking on the submarine, right? So they think that's how he was getting kids to to and from the island.
To and from the island.
Was his yacht and his submarine, because he owned another island, and that's where Bill Clinton would fly to, and then they would take the boat to Little St. James.
Really?
And that's where the stuff went down. It was called, they call it Orgy Island, and like the locals know all about it.
Well, I'm hoping that a lot of these politicians, they start looking closely at them, and it's just like a domino effect. These guys start going down for that.
Yep.
I mean, all these kidnappings, everything that, you know, all these kids, girls that are going missing around here, you know what I mean? Girls and boys, but more girls. It's more prevalent nowadays, you know, that they're just disappearing.
Right.
Like, where are they going? You know?
Nobody knows, man.
I know there have been big busts up in Michigan in that part of the area, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, he's just one key piece of the puzzle. I'm pretty sure that it's going on all over the world.
That's exactly, yeah, that's exactly what this Q message board hints at, that he is just a major player of what is an international network of pedophiles.
And that's...
And that they're all loosely connected, but some of them, it's like legitimately connected, some of it. And that once that guy falls, which he did, which they predicted in 2016, that he's going to bring everybody with him.
Nice.
Because he had a little black book, and in that little black book were thousands of names. Michael Jackson was in there, and you know he was into messing with kids and stuff.
Yeah. That was all over the news, yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of celebrities that are in there, politicians. Prince Andrew from the UK is photographed on that island with... holding his arm around like 15-year-old girls.
Royalty. Wow.
Royalty. You know? Wow. So this guy's going to take everybody down.
With him when it comes time.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I mean, I think something like that needs to happen because, I mean, you go overseas. You know, I was there in 96. And everywhere we'd drive, I was in Frankfurt, and we drove up to Ramstein for supplies. And you'd have these little campers on the side of the road on the Autobahn with a little red light on there. You know what I mean? So it was very prevalent in Europe. And so I'd imagine that there's key players in different parts of the world. You know what I mean? That are all connected. I think they're all connected. There's no way that this kind of network can't be connected in any way, because I bet you they shuffle girls to keep them, you know what I mean?
Right.
Hidden, I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't even begin to. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, there was a movie back in the day about that. Liam Nelson.
Yeah.
What was that?
Taken.
His daughter. Yeah.
Taken.
Yeah. That was. And, you know, it's funny because Hollywood does. They put these movies out, and to me, it's just like, what are they trying to tell us?
Right.
You know what I mean? How long has this been going on?
Under the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just, oh, here's a random movie. You know, they're out in the open with it.
Yeah.
It's like they're putting it right in your face. Like, what are you going to do about this asshole?
Right.
That's what I feel like.
Yep. Like the old Independence Day. You know what I mean? With, what's his name, Will Smith?
Yeah.
I mean, look at all this shit coming up with Area 51. It's...
What do you think about that? What do you think about this Area 51 business?
You know what? You and me both know the military ain't going to mess around. if there's still things there... underground, they're gonna protect it to a T. They're not even gonna make it to the fence.
Do you think that there's anything there other than just new fighter jets that they're developing? Do you think there's such thing as aliens?
Well, we all know the Roswell thing, and there had to have been more like it that, you know, NASA had picked up on and found and probably moved it via rail to wherever. But now I don't think there's as much there. And if there is, it's definitely not what these people are thinking they're going to find there.
Yeah, I think if there was anything remotely like that, they moved it 30 years ago.
I think I know where they moved it to.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that offline.
Yeah.
People are going to listen to this and, hey, great motherfucking day. They know where aliens are kept.
Great day. it's just my opinion
yeah.
where I think they move stuff to, but I never held a classified, you know, top secret clearance, secret. Obviously, I held my secret clearance, but nothing like what you did in Intel or anywhere else. But, I think
people will be disappointed. I really do. I think people want there to be like top secret, awesome alien type stuff. You know, the first thing I did when they gave me my top secret clearance and gave me like the computer systems.
What's that?
I was looking up aliens.
Really?
I was like, all right, I got this.
You're like Seth Breeze.
I sit down in front of the computer and I'm Google searching like Bigfoot.
Right there.
Nothing, you know. I'm sure they probably think every dumb, stupid airman that gets any kind of clearance is like, all right, now I'm gonna get the keys to the secret alien UFO base.
Yeah.
No, he's fucking.
Well, yeah, with the last name of Breeze, you know, they weren't looking. And now, let Ontivero start looking shit up like that. They're like, ooh, OSI. Somebody get this guy.
We got another one.
Yeah, we got another Mexican.
See your green card, sir?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be really disappointed. I don't think there's anything as cool as what they hope.
No, I don't think so. They're going to, if they can make it even to the fence without.
Yeah.
Getting dehydrated.
That fence is probably miles away from the nearest road, you know?
And there's you got to know that there's motion sensors. There's, I'm pretty sure they've got that on satellite. Somebody's monitoring the satellite to even catch any kind of movement like that. And that's going to be a big movement if these morons think they're going to get to that fence first off. And if they even try to, you're going to see a lot of people dying because, I mean, it's posted there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they killed the guy already like a couple months ago trying to get in there.
So they don't mess around. I think they think they can do whatever they want and get away with it. And it's usually liberal Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, it's they feel that they don't have to follow any kind of laws or they're lawless, in my opinion. At the end of the day, it'll come full circle, you know. It'll come full circle, and they'll get a rude awakening, and their feelings will get hurt, and yeah. Kind of like what's going on in the world today, you know.
I don't think anybody's even going to show up at all. You know, I think if they do, there's going to be 20, 30 people standing out there. They're going to realize it's 120 degrees, and they have to walk 7 miles over a mountain just to get to a dry lake bed before they even get anywhere near the fence.
Near the fence, yep.
And by that time, they're going to get rolled up by so many different state troopers and sheriffs and local PD. That's before you even get to the contractors that are out there, you know, and that's before you even get to the military.
Yep.
It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, no. If they think it's going to happen, they need to wake up because, yeah.
I'm gonna be watching it on the news, though.
It'll be funny to watch. Yeah, it'll be hilarious to watch. I'll be right there with my beer, drinking six pack, and my scotch on the side, just double fisting, watching these morons get hemmed up, shot, whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
it'll be funny, nonetheless.
Absolutely.
Right.
You have to make a T-shirt about that.
You know, there's already T-shirts out there. People are just, you know, they're already ahead of the game. Me, I'm just like, okay, I've got to come up with clever stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I see like Nine Line and Grunt Style, and you know, there's Enlisted Nine Line or Enlisted. I forgot what they're
called.
There's
so many.
There's so many, yeah. And you know, I look at all their T-shirts and I'm just like, oh, clever, clever, clever. You know, and I sit there and I try. Like when I designed this one, I was just like, you know what? This is an obvious. This is funny. You know, people will either love it or hate it, and that's just us. You know, we're not when. When I pitch GMFD to people at shows and they ask me what it means, if I don't have my banner up that says Great Motherfucking Day, you know, they either love it, they smile, and they're just like, oh, I love it. If not, they just roll their eyes and walk away.
Well, it's not for them.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what we tell people. You know, we're not for everybody. We understand that. We have audience that we tailor to, you know. When we first started, there was a guy, an Army guy out of Kansas City, that came to one of our shows, and he was just like, man, you guys are, like, life's good. Well, they're more, you know, PG, and they've got their audience, and they're huge, you know, they're huge. We have nothing on Life's Good, or Grunt Style, or, you know, Nine Line. I love what they're doing. My goal is to be as big as them one day, and keep pressing with our shirts and our humor, and providing that quality. Like when we first started, that's one thing I told Lori. I said, you know what, I'm not, if it costs me a little bit more, I said, I'm not going to skimp on quality. That's the first thing that, you know, deters people from coming back. We're in logistics together, you know, and the one thing that keeps people coming back is customer service and the quality of, you know, parts or, you know, whatever it is you're manufacturing. And like us, I said, nope, I'll go with quality t-shirts that aren't going to shrink and that, you know, I want people to know that, hey, our designs are covered. You know, if anything happens to the design, ship it back to us and we'll get you a new one. But, you know, as far as tears and all that's concerned, I can't cover that. That's like you were doing something that you maybe shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah.
But we've been having fun with it. And Lori has been she's been the filter that I need.
Yeah.
Because there's times where I just go off on a tangent, mm-hmm. and I'll stay on that tangent. And she reels me back down to earth. And I love her for that because I mean, we've been beautiful as, you know, we've had that beautiful business relationship, partnership, even just our home life, you know what I mean? What we do and how we tailor and take care of each other. I knew she was the one. I was just like, okay, from day one,
yeah.
Like I said, when I pitched it to her, when I met her that night, she's the one who got me off my butt to do it, but... It's been fun. We just need to stay relevant, and like you said, yeah, those the Area 51 t-shirts. I know they're already out. I had a Space Force t-shirt that I wanted to come out with. I didn't pull the trigger on that one,
yeah.
But
that's
I'm saving
late.
It. No, it's not. I still have it on the back burner, but me, it's more of a. I'm trying to do more of the keep the humor there, and. Still do all the freedom stuff and still, like I said, we want to sponsor people. We want to do stuff for different organizations.
Yeah.
And while we're here, you know, we plan on, I don't know how much longer we're going to be here in Wichita. I love it here. Yeah. We want to be where there's more traffic, you know. We have the traffic here. I'm not saying Wichita has done us wrong because I love Wichita and all of our followers, you know, the people that have purchased from us and when we've keep seeing, you know, over and over, you know, many people, same people coming back and buying from us. But I just want to grow it even further.
Yeah.
You know, I think Lori and I's goal is to build this in a place kind of like Branson. You know, we went to Branson about a month and a half ago. Fell in love with Branson, fell in love with the Indian Point area. But there's a lot of older retiree people there and you know,
mm-hmm.
We had one person tell us, you know, you might want to watch out with the F-bomb or how you say it and where you say it. But the whole town loves their veterans, so I don't think we'd have a problem there. I think we're more tailored to, like, the lake life,
yeah.
Fast-paced lake life. And we were just up in Margaritaville there in Osage Beach and fell in love with the area. So we think we might take it there and just make it bigger there. And then who knows where it'll take us from there, you know. But the ultimate goal is to have the boys run it later on in life so me and Lori can travel and do our thing. So if we build it for them, they can run it. And they're in key points right now in their lives. They're starting up their careers and don't want to pull them from it because we want to build this first and then say, hey,
sure.
here's your what you can make, and which is probably more than what they're making,
yeah.
Where they're working right now. But if we build it, train them, give them the OJT, kind of like what we get in the military, I think it'll work out for them. So we want all four boys. Between the both of us, she has two boys, I have two boys, right around the same age. And that's what we want to do, is we want to grow it to where they can run it, and then Lori and I can travel to, we've been wanting to go to Europe and stuff, but, you know, when it's just us two.
Taking international.
Yeah. And that's, and we have shipped internationally, but we want that to grow. And my initial thought was just to, once I retired, take it to Italy, take it to the south of France, and just travel with it. I mean, all those military bases out there, and just, you know, do pop-ups here and there. Hey, we're going to be at, you know, Ramstein. We're going to be at
Aviano,
yeah. I have friends all over the place in Europe, and I'm pretty sure they would have help coordinate with
get your jingle truck over the Khyber Pass, take it on down to the Kabul.
I'm telling you, man, there's so much potential with this, and everywhere we go, and I think that's what we're going to do is we have our online presence. We have the website, which we're revamping right now. I got a green screen, so I kind of self-taught myself how to do everything with the green screens, which is fun. I love it. And then we have a friend of ours who he does graphic design, Chris Bartel, and he's been a huge help with trying to get some pictures together so we can put it up on our website as far as like the background picture, because you know when you talk about GMFD, what we think is, you know, GMFD ties into everything. Great motherfucking day, whether you're up on that podium, I see all those medals on the wall right there of your races, you know, that's when you're up there, that's a great motherfucking day.
You know how
day.
Many of those are mine?
How many?
None.
Great day.
I've never run a race like that. My wife, she does half marathons and marathons.
Great
she,
day.
That's all her, man. I didn't earn a single one of those.
See, in this room, I'd be like, yeah, those are all mine. Because it's just...
That's my I love me wall that isn't me at all.
Great day.
Yep. See the pictures of us at our races, you notice I'm not wearing race attire.
See, in those pictures, I just take the medal, put it over my head, and just put up the number one.
I'm just going to start bringing a fake medal so people think I ran. I keep talking about it. I can't bring myself to do it.
No.
I need to just bite the bullet, man. Yeah, like we were talking about earlier, just you know, staying fit when you get out of the military. I think you got to find kind of a big, lofty goal.
Yes.
And then make that your thing.
Yeah, because I mean, I think I'm at the heaviest probably I was at in the military when I broke my neck. But at the end of the day, I was on a lot of pain pills at the time, and I deployed. Military said, "Hey, you can't pass a PT test, or you can't even test. Period. We're gonna have to medically release you." And I was just like, "No, this was about my shit 5 to 6 year mark." And I said, "No, you know what?" I said, "Let me recover." I said, "I'll give you a PT test as soon as the doctor says, hey, he's released for duty." Because I was off. I mean, I was literally off for 3 months. They didn't want me picking up a pencil. And I was just like, okay. And I said, you know what? I got to get off these pain pills because I want to say I was addicted to them, but I could see when I wasn't in pain or I had very little pain, I was still taking them.
Yeah.
Didn't need them, but I was still taking them. And that's, you know, that's an epidemic right now, and I'm glad... You know, Trump is doing something about it because you see a lot of veterans that have been on it, and I feel bad because a lot of them don't know how to cope without it, and that's why we see all these suicides, you know, because they don't know how to. There's nobody there for them, so they kind of feel alone, and that's a different subject, you know, that we can get into, but at the end of the day. You know, I gave them that PT test. Going back to the story, I gave them their PT test, deployed 4 months later. And, 21 years later, I'm retired.
How'd you break your neck?
Rollover accident.
Yeah. What?
I was on leave. Me and my ex-wife, we had went to El Paso, and we went to go see her dad in Arizona. And on the way back, we always used to take 54 coming back, 54 there. And we had passed to our exit on Tucumcari, and I'd already been driving, probably about 17, 18 hours. I was tired.
Yeah.
And you know, Jaden was only, my youngest was only probably a year and a half, maybe, if that. Anyway, long story short, she decides, you know, oh, hey, here's a hydroxy cut. Take a hydroxy cut. We'll make it to the next little town, which is Amarillo, which is quite a ways away. And took the hydroxy cut. Got even, it was just dehydration. It, you know, if you're not drinking water, you just get dehydrated on that stuff. Fell asleep at the wheel on I-40, and it was under construction, so it kind of veered off to the north, came back to the south, went. East, and then it went back up, and I was just like, okay. I kind of got through the first couple of detours there, the turns, and fell asleep. Next thing you know, I'm in between I-40 East and West, and the SUV, I had an old Montero Sport. I roll a raid on those things, and next thing you know, I'm bouncing up and down. The whole time before I even went into this, she decided she's going to change his diaper because he was wet, and went to the back. And next thing you know, I'm bouncing up and in the median, you know, the dirt median there. And I get a glimpse of where the road is after I kind of semi-wake up and get on this new asphalt, and my front tires gripped, my back tires started, you know, sliding. So when I tried to correct, I overcorrected, went into the roll, face at the window. Tina had thrown Jaden under her shirt, and the dog flew out. It was pretty intense, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know I'd broken my neck until, because I after we did the, on the third roll, I had gotten out, and I'd heard Jaden crying, and I yelled to make sure they were all right, got out, and literally I was so pissed off at myself because we could have turned around. I could have just gone in the median and gone up to Tucumcari and gone up 54. Got out, punched the car because I was so pissed. EMS is there. I'm telling them not to touch me because my adrenaline's so high.
Yeah.
I said, you take care of my wife and kid. Couldn't find the dog. I thought we ran over the dog on the first roll. He flew out the window. Long story short, we go into this little podunk town, Elk City. It was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And the cop, you know, we had wine because there was a big wine festival there in Arizona. And we had brought wine back with us, and that's all they could smell at the scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, And the cop was like, you know what? I want piss. I want blood. I want to make sure he's not drunk, because if he is, he's going to jail, you know? And at the time, I was so pissed off. I was like, you know what? Fuck out of here. We just got in a wreck. And pissed. I was pissed. I didn't care what I said to him. And next thing you know, doctor's pulling glass out of my eye, sewing me up. They transport me. They finally put me, after they get an x-ray of me and Tina and Jaden, they saw the hairline fracture in my neck. And so they put me in a neck brace, and they strapped me down to a board. They transported me into Oklahoma City University Hospital. It was pretty cool, though, because as I was getting transported into Oklahoma City via ambulance, got the VIP treatment.
Yeah.
I got there pretty quick. But what was cool about the whole trip was I had this Native American guy, Indian guy. He was like, you mind if I pray over you? And he got into his whole chant, and I was just like, that's pretty cool. You know? And where do you come from? I didn't even see him out here. And that's what happened. And then next thing you know, I'm on 3 months convalescent leave, and they're just throwing pills at me, and then the military wants a PT test, and I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Long story short, like I said, I passed the PT test. 21 years later, I retire. Never failed a PT test in my career, so proud of that. But getting back to the gym thing, yes, I think it's important. And like now, even when I'm out and about, I'm just like, oh, man, you know, definition's still there. It's just, you know, the gut's getting bigger because of the beer, and I'm not running it off.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely want to be that image, especially with, you know, the company.
Yeah.
So Lori and I are getting on a routine. We just need to get off our butts. We've been busy, but we've been making excuses as well. So
yeah.
Now it's time to get off our ass and then just do it, because just
make it part of the business plan. Yeah. You know, this is on our agenda now.
Yeah. So that's the thing. We get up in the morning, we're gonna work out. Then we work GMFD. And that's what we've been doing is just trying to get everything, you know, like our shirts branded. And then just sitting there coming up with easier things to make it easier, because we're thinking about getting a storefront and now going to being part of Lake Life and just being up there this past week. You know, people loved us. They were like, man, we don't have anybody like you up here. We'd love to have you up here. Didn't talk to the chamber or anything. We had planned to talk to the chamber. Didn't stop by and see them. But, I mean, we were just very well received by the people there at Lake of the Ozarks. And I think we put a contract on a house, and somebody else came in with a cash offer.
Yeah.
kind of lost it. So, but you know what? I mean, if we can grow it out there or anywhere like that, I think it'll be good. I'm ready for that next chapter in our life, and definitely not looking to jump into getting a storefront, because we were out there, and you know, a lot of these storefronts that have shirts there, yes, they're, you know, tourist shirts, you know what I mean? They're your shirts that, you know, they carry everywhere. And we're branded apparel, so we're just, you know, we fit in very well, but do we want to be there tied down to a shop where we can be all over that lake and pop up and have followers like what we do? Our audience right now, I call them familia, because, you know, if you purchase from us, you're part of the GMFD familia. But like here, we get a lot of people saying, hey, where are you guys going to be at this weekend? You know, sometimes we're like, we don't have a show this weekend. We're not going to be anywhere. But hey, we'll be here, you know, next week. So if we can do that at the lake and just pop up in different areas, and go down to Branson, you know, and then Eureka Springs has, you know, these bikers love our gear. Like that Freedom Matters, Your Opinion Doesn't t-shirt. Oh my goodness, I can't tell you how many bikers have bought that t-shirt. And so they were like, man, you guys need to be in Eureka Springs for that Bikers Blues and Barbecue in September. So we're setting up for trying to get all that situated so we're there in September. And I think that's going to be really good for us. Definitely didn't want to go take a look at Eureka Springs. Not that there was anything wrong with Eureka Springs. I just think that if we stay with these pop-ups everywhere, we'll have people, you know, coming to us, as opposed to just being centrally located and having people come to the shop, you know what I mean? And if anything, you know what, if we don't have the shirt out there to show that they want, here's our card, here's our website, go on there, PM us on Facebook, Instagram, or DM, whatever the terminology is. Yeah. And you know, like here, I tell everybody, you know, we'll meet you somewhere. I have no problem. If it's going to get our name out there even more, that's what I want. I want GMFD to be a lifestyle. Like for me, it became a lifestyle in 07. I tried not to stress out about shit and, you know, let little things bother me. And even like the stuff that I post on Facebook and stuff, it doesn't bother me. I give it more attention than it needs. And then I just come in with my shit paddle and, you know, stir things up. And I need to get away from that. Just because I'm preaching this GMFD lifestyle, and that's what I want everybody to start. It's kind of like life's good. Yeah. But, you know, whatever it is you do ties into a great motherfucking day, even if it's just drinking beers out of the lake with your family, you know what I mean? That's, to me, if that's a great motherfucking day to you, that's a great motherfucking day to me, because I'd love to be doing that, you know? So it just ties in with everything. So what we're trying to do now is come up with like a collage of, like, you know, sports stuff and, you know, extreme sports, biking, BMXing, you know, anything that has anything to do with a great motherfucking day. And we're just going to, you know, use that as, you know, what define your great motherfucking day. You know what I mean? Because we'd love to hear what your great motherfucking day consists of. So it's been fun.
Yeah, it's cool. It's almost like it's like a battle cry, you know? Yeah. It's a motivational phrase. It's a lot more than, you know, just the t-shirt.
Right.
You know, it's like you said, it is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're one of these guys and, you know, maybe you got some issues, some PTSD or whatever, you know, you look down and you're wearing a great motherfucking day t-shirt and you realize, maybe shit ain't that bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's the motto of the company, you know, is every day is a great day. You know, every morning I wake up, literally, and I'm feeding the dogs at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm praying with them. You know, I'm asking God to bless their food. But I'm also, before that, I'm thanking Him for letting me wake up and being able just to do that and spend time with my dog, spending time with my wife, you know, because to me, that's a great day. It's what I do in that day that makes it a great motherfucking day. Right. So that's the motto of the companies, you know, is every day is a great day. For those exceptional days, great motherfucking day. But you, everybody that has purchased from us, you know, they determine what their great motherfucking day is and how are they going to make it. Because at the end of the day, we've come to this, I want to say society, but we all We all make choices in life. I've made my choices, some good, some bad, in my lifetime. But you know, I've never let those bad decisions, you know, bring me down. You know, I'm just always trying to press forward. Yep. And what else? How can I make somebody else's day, you know, put a smile on somebody's face by saying great motherfucking day, or hey, how are you doing? You know, just simple, hey, how's it going? You know what I mean? Those little things change people's perspective. You know, when we were on base, I was on base, you know, during the winter months, we'd go out and take coffee to the cops at the front gate, you know what I mean? Me and then Joe Krulik, but you know, they'd see that and it'd make their day.
Hey everybody, I want to give a quick plug for our new t-shirt line. So if you go to the Facebook page, click on the Shop Now tab, and it'll take you to our online store where you can browse the t-shirts we offer. I'm currently wearing the Max Effort t-shirt. If you recall the conversation with Wild Bill a while ago, he talked about how the words Max Effort were used as a motivational saying during the Vietnam War whenever they would lose an aircraft. The Air Force Base would blast the words Max Effort across the intercom system to let people know that another aircraft was lost in combat. But rather than sitting around and having a moment of silence, that was a call to arms for all of the guys on the ground, who would then get up and do the work of their jobs and their buddies' jobs and work generally 10 times harder as before. I think it's a great message. The Max Effort message is that of taking matters into your own hands, and rather than sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, work twice as hard to get the results you want. Get the Max Effort shirt by going to Facebook and clicking the Shop Now link. Thanks.
So those things are the little things that I like to do. I like giving back. You know about the t-shirt, the Kansas Strong t-shirt that we did for Deputy Coonsey's.
I didn't know. No, I you mentioned something about that, but I didn't ever hear what the full scoop of that was.
So when, as we know, Deputy Coonsey got shot, what, about a year ago now? Or a little over a year ago now. And me and Lori were actually at the Riverside Cafe eating, and we were leaving, and a convoy of SUVs, cop cars, and then the ambulance transporting him, like, swarmed by us. And I told Lori, I said, what the hell is going on? I said, this has got to be a cop. They wouldn't do that for you or for me. So we followed him down to, what's that, Via Christi downtown. And the news happened to show up. We went through the little roundabout that they have there in the front. They had already taken him in. And as we know, he passed away from his from the gunshot wounds he sustained. And the beauty of it, though, is he killed that piece of shit that did that, who was up to no good the day before. Long story short, we had heard about it, and we were just like, well, we felt like we were right there when it happened. And so what we did was we decided we were going to do 100 T-shirts, and 100% of the proceeds go to Deputy Coonsey's wife and daughter. And that's what we did. We didn't waste any time. I think we had it within a couple of days. And Paul Zamorano from the Honoree Adversus Foundation had reached out to us and how to go about getting that money to his wife and daughter. And so we've just had a good relationship since then. And we raised a little over $2,200. You know, and wrote the check, and it's on our Facebook page. And you know, I love supporting not only our LEO, but our fire dogs. We did a T-shirt for them, and we need to get with the foundation to get their money to them. But we're actually trying to get them out to Range 54. Lori knows them. I don't know their names. I can't say what their names are, but we're getting ready to get with them so we can see if we can put those T-shirts on there. And you know, they make their money, and then 20% still of the proceeds still go to the Honoree Adversus Foundation, and go about it that way, because we're in a couple shops here in town, and we make money. You know, the workroom has been nothing but great to us downtown. They do the second Saturday, and we're always there. And they, what Janelle King's been doing there, bringing local artists, artisans, you know, musicians together, has been nothing but great for the city of Wichita. And then we also have our gear down at Mike and Sarah's CBD shop down in Hayesville. Dude, smell this. Great people. Love them to death. Because they promote us every chance they get. So, I mean, you can't beat that kind of, you know, advertising. And so we want to get into more stores here. Because I'm still trying to sell a house. So we're going to be here as long as it takes to sell our house. But if we can get into shops and doing stuff like that, that would be good. And I know we were talking about the passageways,
yeah,
and
sure.
I still need to get with those ladies to do something, give back to the veterans, because I think we've been so busy working. Lori worked corporate lodging up on the east side, and I worked at corporate out here at Hample Oil for a little over a year, almost 2 years after I retired. But I mean, doing that and GMFD, I mean, we were putting in about 80, 90 hours trying to make it happen. And in the 3 years that we did that, the first year, you know, before I retired, we started doing that. And then we just have been making it happen. And somewhere along the lines, I told Lori, I said, hey, something's got to give. I said, we're working, we're busting our tail ends off, and we're trying to make this work. And it finally got to the point where it was just like, okay, we're at that point to where we can quit, we can work this full time, and we'll sustain, you know. So, and then we just got to the point in row two, it was like, where do we want to open a shop up? Do we want to open a shop here, or do we want to go somewhere else? But now, after just this last visit to Margaritaville, I think we're gonna still do what we're doing and just pop up in different places, different party coves, different, you know, lake coves and marinas, and I think that'll be fun because the amount of people that come through there, ridiculous. I think we'll have to have more inventory just for those people that go through there. I mean, it's crazy how many people. And it's usually like we left yesterday, and then the party people, everybody, you know, that just, you know, worked all week. They usually take Friday off and they're there. And sure enough, I mean, the influx of people that just came in on Friday, I was just like, wow. So this might be where we need to be to get our, to sell our gear and maybe not get a shop and just figure out what we want to do, because I think a shop will tie us down.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of overhead too.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when you look at the overhead on that, I mean, it's just, I want to say ridiculous, because there's a couple places that we were offered. There's one in Branson, one of the biggest t-shirt companies there, saw our van, and the guy came out and he's like, hey, when you guys are done over there, come on in, I want to talk to you guys, I've been looking at your website. And so we went in there and had a two-story building right there, right on the main strip, which would have been perfect. And he had told us about the little room. They had a 15 by 15 room downstairs that was unoccupied, had a few pieces of equipment in. He said, but if I clear this out, I can get you guys in here, and it'd be about $500. So I was just like, yeah, man, you know what? Thanks for the offer. You know, we'll think about it. But we were just in the stages of just getting out and seeing where the perfect fit's going to be for us.
Yeah.
And, we'll see. Like I said, we just got back from Osage Beach, and I think that's going to be a perfect fit for us. But who knows? I mean, I'll let God do the talking for me and tell me, hey, Chris, you need to be over here, you know, because I've had my faith and everything, my belief, and like I said, the waking up and just thanking him every morning, he's pointing me in the right direction. And you know, some of the t-shirts that, you know, I was like, okay, do I put this t-shirt out? Do I put this t-shirt out? And then it's just hands down, this t-shirt's got to come out because it's a little bit more edgy, a little bit more funny, and that's what we like. We like being edgy. And, just getting out there to see what people think.
Yeah. That's awesome. Great day.
Great motherfucking day.
This is my official podcast t-shirt.
Nice.
So I interviewed a guy. He was a Vietnam vet. He was a weapons loader in the Air Force. He spent 3 years in Vietnam. He was loading F-105s in Vietnam. And he was telling me a story about how they'd work overnight, they'd put bombs on F-105s. They'd go out, and, you know, sometimes they don't come back. You know, surface air missiles, ground fire, enemy jets, what have you. A lot of surface air missiles, SA-2s. So every time that a plane wouldn't come back, the base would go over the intercoms and they'd say max effort, and that's it. And that was a code word, and that meant that we just lost another jet and a pilot. And as you know, you go down in Vietnam, you're not coming back. Most likely most of those guys were found, killed. Some were lucky enough to, you know, escape, but that was not very many. And so max effort was the code word that they used. And so rather than, you know, sitting around and feeling sorry for things, what they do is they got off their ass. They went to work. And he told me that, you know, you pick up a broom, you just start sweeping. You know, if you're turning wrenches, you know, you finish your job, then you go help the next guy, and the next guy, and then the next guy. Whatever you did 10 times harder, 10 times faster, and you did the job of the next three guys when you heard max effort. You know, you don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. You get off your ass and go to work.
Right.
Because that's how you're going to defeat the enemy.
Exactly.
The enemy wants you to sit around and feel bad. They want you to mourn.
Yep.
So you max effort your way out of that.
Yep.
I was like, hell yeah.
How do we put that out there for the world to see? Because the way it's going right now in the United States is, you know, I'm thinking Russia and China are just sitting back looking at...
They're laughing at us.
Yeah, they're laughing at us. They're like, oh, we'll just let them destroy themselves from within. And then right when they're at their weakest... that's when we'll take them over, you know.
100%.
I really do think that that's what they're doing. They're just waiting, you know. They're just waiting for these Democrats doing and brainwashing, you know, their followers. And they're just waiting for when we're at our weakest, and they're going to infiltrate us. They're going to come in from all angles, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's going to be sad because this country wasn't... this country was... how can I say this?
We're not descended from fearful men.
Yes, exactly. Well, perfect wording. And I think that we're... you still have them. You know what I mean? You still have those patriots that... you know, you have these people. Like me, if I could get back in the military and they'd let me, I'd get back in a heartbeat. That's how much I love the military. You know, because I was... I love trying to make change, trying to make sure that everybody was trained right and knew what to do. I didn't want to half-ass train anybody and then have them come back and continue to question me. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, hey, I trained you. We created a continuity book for you. Here it is. Figure it out. You know what I mean? But it never, to me, I don't think it was ever like that. I think it was personal questions. I think it was more of a, oh, little Johnny and many aren't getting along, how do we, you know, fix this? And so, to me, it was, I think I made a change, or at least I tried to make a change when I was in the military, and I'd do it again. I'd do it again and try to. I think there's a lot of, how can I say, conflict within, and... all that's got to change, because you're going to get people in there that, you know, you have your hard workers and you have them pulling the weight of other people. Right. You know what I mean?
And you only do that for so long.
Exactly.
And honestly, man, that's what happened to me. I mean, you know some of the guys that work
with
and dirtbags.
Yeah.
And, you know, 6 years, I felt like I was the only guy doing a damn thing. And I put up with about 6 years of that, but I was done after that. You know, I had nothing left.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as I used to love the military, you know, the bullshit that they piled on us, especially towards the end, it just accelerated.
Right.
You know, it was no longer about, you know, doing your job.
Right.
It was about talking about how you might do your job on an inspection report.
Right.
And then it was equal opportunity and bystander intervention and sexual assault response, sexual assault prevention, suicide prevention, the 86 other things that had nothing to do. I can't get over the thought, you know, like what you said, Russia and China laughing at us. Because they're not doing that.
Right.
You know? They're training to kill you.
Right.
They're training to kill me. And that's all they're doing.
Right.
And we spend 90% of our time and energy doing stuff that doesn't make us more proficient and efficient at our jobs.
Right.
And, you know, I couldn't get over that. I was like, what's the point? You know, like,
but yet you deploy and you're in these deployed locations and you're doing your job, and it's just like, okay, you try to bring that back. And the beauty of deployments was you're working with a diverse group of people that bring different things to the table, and you make it work because there's no other way. You either make it work or
you fail
or you just get sent home because, you know, you're not cutting it. Boom, you're gone. But yet you get back to home station, and like you said, you're not doing your job. You're answering 50 million questions on how you think you do your job. And then when the inspectors get there, that's all they're doing is inspecting how you answered those questions,
right.
You know, and not the proficiency of how well you know and can do the job. It's just like, really?
They don't even watch you really do the job.
Right.
They just read this report that you bullshitted about how you might do your job if you were inspected.
Right.
You know, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
That's like the Democrats. They pop smoke. And, you know, that's just.
Well, it makes everybody look good all the time. But that's not
even the dirtbags. I mean, you're covering up for those dirtbags that probably don't even need to be in the military. And that's the beauty of the military. When I came in, was that if you're a piece of shit, you're going to weed yourself out of the military. If you didn't want to be there, you were going to weed yourself out. And that was the beauty of it. Now it's like, hey, Seth, we know you're a hard worker. Why don't you cover this guy's job and this guy's job and this guy's job? And they're going to get credit for it.
Yep.
And it's going to reflect on their EPR. But not on yours.
Right.
And if it does, it's a one bullet saying that you train them and you help them learn their job. Something, you know.
Motivated airmen.
Yep. Exactly. And you're seeing that more and more nowadays. And it's kind of military still. I think we're still the best military in the world. We're just. We need not to cripple ourselves from the inside out, and we need more people that are hard workers that are going to put people in their place that aren't working and get them to work. And if not, hey, guess what? There's somebody else willing to come in and do this to max effort. You know,
exactly.
I'm going to throw it out there. And you have a lot of those people, but you're right. How long before leadership realizes that they're burning out all these good people, and all their good people, all their hard workers, you know, are either retiring or saying, fuck it, I'm done. You know what I mean? I'll do this on the weekends and work somewhere else where I'm gonna get the same retirement or better, you know what I mean? Same medical benefits and not have to deal with the BS in so many ways. And I think, you see that even when I got out of the military. You see a little bit in different jobs. You know, I always hear people complaining. And even when I was at corporate, you know, I saw it at the plant level. You know what I mean? But you're going to have it everywhere. You're not going to get away from it. It's how individuals take care of it. You know what I mean? In that leadership position, management position, and how they're taking care of it. Because at the end of the day, those people are in that position for a reason. Some people were just given it. Some people earned it. And the people that have earned it are the ones that really need to be there. The ones who haven't, hey, learn from those who did and make the changes. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be working harder to having to make up for them or having to answer for them. And at the end of the day, to me, it's one of those things. You start losing good people quick, and it's not even worth it. But again, like going back to the China Russia thing, you know, you see all these joint, our AFSOC guys, you know, they do that down in Florida, but these guys are China Russia getting together and doing hand-to-hand combat. You know, they're Navy, Army, and we do that too. We don't make it as prevalent and a big show as they do.
Mm-hmm.
But they are. I think they're just waiting for us to break down from the inside out and take advantage.
I agree.
But, yeah, sad the way this world could possibly go. Well, like the saying goes, we're only a generation away from losing all our freedoms, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From freedom being lost.
It looks bleak right now, but I'm pretty confident that is not permanent, and I think things are changing. I really do, and I am honestly hopeful when I say that. You know, with like President Trump, I think he's done some great things. And I think the number one thing he's done is make it okay to feel good about your country again. And for a long time, that hasn't been the case.
Right.
You know, not since like 9/11, right? Everyone was like, America, fuck yeah. You know, 9/12, everybody loved cops, loved firefighters, loved the military. Everybody was getting along. We weren't black, we weren't white, we weren't liberal, Democrat, we were Americans. And that's what it needs to come back to. So the number one thing he's done to help fix that is he's exposed people who don't think that way.
Right.
And they are front and center, and we know who they are, and we know what they want. And they want to destroy the country. They want to make this country out to be some institution that it isn't and never was. You know, this country's not perfect. No country. The only thing perfect is when you die and go to heaven.
Yeah.
If you're on this earth, you know, there is just various degrees of good and bad. And the United States of America is the best country that has ever been and might ever will be. It's hard to say.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of people who don't think that way.
Yeah.
The fact that you can stand up and criticize your country and your government and everything about it is just more proof that this country is that good.
Right.
Because you can go back to your bed at night. You know, any other country in the world prior to the establishment of the United States, you would have died for that.
Yep.
You know, you couldn't say that about King George in England.
Right.
You know, you couldn't say that Nazi Germany. You can't say that Soviet Russia, Communist China, any of the other...
Or Facebook.
You know, any of the other hellholes that existed, you know, prior to the establishment of the United States of America. And the outcome of that, with all these other countries following suit, you know, and getting their own independence and writing their own declaration of independence based off ours. You know, America is an idea. It's not just a country. It's an idea.
Right.
It's a movement. You know, and to shit on that says a lot about a person.
Right. Right. And for, I mean, to, you know, like I was talking about these Democrats and what they're trying to do with the, at the border, trying to get these votes from these Mexicans, you know, coming in here illegally, giving them free health care and free everything, you know, it's kind of a slap in the face. But to me, I post a lot of stuff because about this, because it's personal to me, because I came from a border town, and I know damn well that they don't care about these people. All they want is votes.
Yep.
For what? Power.
You're from El Paso, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that is just right across the border.
Right on. My shit, my mom's house is right on the border. I mean, I can throw a rock and hit the fence. That's how close she is. My sister works Border Patrol, and she tells me stories all the time, you know, of the stuff going on down there. And
so I got a question. So outside looking in, right? So people of Hispanic descent. Your sister works Border Patrol. Obviously, she has no problem. You know, there's no conflict there whatsoever. She sees herself as American, and that's it, right? Okay. You know, it seems to me like the majority of people who take issue with the wall and immigration are rich white people.
Rich white people, yeah. Yeah.
How do Hispanics really feel about it? I mean, the ones that came here legally, you know, probably want to be part of the American system, obviously, because that's a lot of work.
Right. The Mexican-American people who come into this country legally and do it the right way, I think more than 50%. I'd have to say it's probably up in the 80%. And 20% of these Mexican-Americans either have somebody who's illegal, still down in Mexico, doesn't want to do it the right way and trying to get in. But I think 80% of Mexican-Americans that have done it the right way think the same way that I do. I've been paying taxes since I had my first job,
yeah.
You know, at Dairy Queen. And back when I was in high school, and I was, you know, the government was pulling their taxes. You know, these people want to come into this country, and we're having to pay their taxes, having to pay for their medical, because it's all coming out of our checks, you know what I mean? Especially on the business side of it, you know what I mean? I'm doing everything right business-wise to pay my taxes. The last thing I need is IRS coming down and knocking down my door saying, hey, I want to check your books. Well, everything's balanced the way it needs to be, but they want to come into this country free of charge and not have to get their citizenship, not have to pay their taxes. And I think that's what a lot of people, these Mexican-Americans, real Mexican-Americans feel, you know? Come in this country, do it right. How did we end up with all these Mexicans, all these concentration camps that these Democrats are calling, you know, concentration camps? They're not concentration camps.
Yeah.
They're detention camps. And they're there just to detain these Mexicans to get them back to their country. I've never seen this many Mexicans at the border, you know, and how they got there is, I've got my theory.
You think they're being paid? I think they're being organized, and I think they're being paid.
Here's my theory, is I think the Dems have gotten with the cartel, and they've worked out a deal. We let your drugs come through. We just need you to bring a million or more Mexicans to the border.
Yeah.
You look at all these shows, you know, that deal with the border. You know, half these people that they catch crossing, you know, down in Nogales, Arizona, or wherever, anywhere on the border. You know, half these people are saying, you know, they saved all their life. They've saved, what, $4,000 or $5,000 to get the chance to come into this country and enjoy the freedoms that we have, because their country is shit, you know what I mean? And my thing is, okay, you've saved all your life. Where the hell is all this? Where are all these Mexicans getting all this money to get them to the border? You know what I mean? How? So my thing is, I think the Dems and cartel have worked out a deal. Okay, here's how we're going to get your drugs in. We just need you to do this because we need the votes, because we keep putting our foot in our mouth, and we this is the only way we're going to win. Seriously, that's the only way I think that the reason why they want all these illegals. Once they get in, they don't give a shit. Guess what? They'll knock their door down and deport their ass. You know, I really do think that that's all it is votes for power. They just want to be in control of this country and do whatever they want to this country. And nobody can say anything. You know what I mean? And I really do think that in a lot of my posts deal with waking people up. You know what I mean? Waking a lot of my Mexican friends up who are supportive of these illegal Mexicans coming into this country and you know, just making them realize, hey, if I was Trump, I'd have, okay, you want to support them? Guess what? I'm going to pull that much more out of your taxes, but not out of my taxes. You know what I mean? If you want this, go right ahead. Hey, this is how much more taxes you're going to have to pay. And then they're going to get into the issue of, oh, that's not fair, this, that, and the other. You know? Long story short, it's all a power thing. As once they, if they were to get what they ultimately want, which is the votes and get into power, as soon as they get into power, all these Mexicans are either going to be back in Mexico, kid you not, or you're going to see more and more crimes and more of them getting killed, because you're going to mess with the wrong American, and they're not going to give a shit. Because guess what? Oh, you don't have a job, and you have all these businesses who don't want to take that risk of paying them under the table. You know what I mean? Because that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what goes on, is they don't have a Social Security number, so you can't put them on payroll. So they're paying these guys under the table. So if they want to take a chance in doing that and losing everything that they've worked for, their business they've worked for, go for it. But I guarantee you, there's going to be a crackdown, and then you're going to really ask yourself, is it really worth it? You know, there's a right way of doing it. And in my opinion, if you can save that much to get to the border, to get a coyote to get you over, get to the border, do it right, you have the money. All it is just a matter of information, asking, you know, hey, how can I do this the right way? And then boom. You're in this country. Now you can enjoy the freedoms and pay the taxes, and you know, now you can get a job anywhere you want, you know. And to me, that's what I want to see. I want to see more of. And at the end of the day, like I said, I'm not worried about 2020. I'm more concerned of 2024.
Yeah.
Because I think Trump has 2020 in hand. There's too many people on the damn side putting their foot in their mouth and
I got nothing.
Yeah. They don't even know how to talk. You know, I'm not saying there's a lot of stuff that comes out of Trump that you know, is the truth and it needs to be said. And but half these people don't know they're too juvenile to run this country. You know what I mean? A lot of these Democrats are way too juvenile to run this country. And Hillary ain't going to come back and try to do anything. She's looking bad right now with everything going on with this Epstein thing. Yep. You know what I mean? And her husband. So.
And his 26 trips to Epstein Island.
Yep. And, you know, there's a lot more corruption there with the Clintons that, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg for them. So it'll be interesting what turns we see in this country in the next 5 years.
Yep.
Because it's just going to be, I just look out, you know, what kind of future are our kids going to have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, what's it going to look like for them, our grandkids, you know? I don't want to think about grandkids right now, but, you know, what's it going to look like for them if this country keeps going down the road that it's going? So,
yeah, I don't know.
Sad.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Time will tell. We'll see what happens.
Whatever it is, it's a great day, right?
Great motherfucking day. I'm going to live it up to the fullest every day. Every day is going to be a great motherfucking day for us.
So how do people, you got a website. What's your website so people can get a hold of you?
It's www.mygmfdgear.com. So we operate under MyGMFDGear, but it's just great motherfucking day. You know, that's what we, that's our business name, and that's what we operate under, the MyGMFDGear, because at the end of the day, you know, this is my GMFD gear. You go get your GMFD gear, then you can call it, my, you know,
yeah.
Oh, this is my GMFD gear. So, oh, it's been fun, man. And we're just looking to grow this more and more and pass this on to the kids, because both are kids. I mean, she's got her two boys, like I mentioned. I got mine. And they love it. They're just like, oh, man, see where it takes it. And they know they want to work GMFD because in the future, because they just pitch it to their friends and their friends have been buying stuff from us and it's just getting out there even more. But that's what I want. I want to be able to go anywhere and be like, oh, hey, where are you guys going to be at next? And it'll be fun. It'll be fun. What we have for the future, what we have planned for the near future is good. I think it's going to get us out there even more. You'll be seeing, hopefully, out on, there's a Lake TV out at Lake of the Ozarks. It would be cool just to see everybody out at the dam wearing GMFD gear.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man.
So, yeah, there's so much to take advantage of, you know, different shows and different opportunities to give back to the community. And I think giving is just as important as the doing and selling, because
right. That's
what gets you... that's part of that networking that I always talked about in the military. And you get into that networking group and now you're opening opportunities in different areas. You know what I mean? All it's going to take is, hey, Chris, come over here. I got the perfect spot for you if you want to open up a shop, you know, kind of like what we had in Branson. So that's what we plan on try to keep doing, because we've just been busy, man. I can't tell you how busy we've been, man. It's just ongoing. And it's just Lori and I, you know, we have friends that help us. Gotten like Joel Krulik's come out and helped us. Shannon Black used to work with her in CE. She's helped us in quite a few shows. And she just likes coming out there because she likes meeting the people. I mean, we get some characters out there sometimes. And Milton, her friend, our friend, I call him the workhorse because he's been awesome just setting up and breaking down and pitch in GMFD. And we call him the model of GMFD because every t-shirt he puts on is just like, damn, you can model this for us. And so it's been fun. We could get people out there that ask us, you know, if you guys need help, just let us know. But it's like, I feel bad because, you know, I pay them in gear and then I pay them, you know, whatever I can at the end of the day, depending on how much we make at shows. And it's been good. I mean, you get shows where you do really good and other shows where you just say, okay, we did all right. So in the first 2 years, 3 years that we've been doing this, we've kind of picked and choose which ones we want to do, only because it's long days. I mean, you're working the night before trying to get everything ready, and then you're doing the show. Could be anywhere from 8 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the next couple of days you're just recovering, doing inventory, doing the books, and so it's like an never-ending cycle. So
it's hard work, but you know, it's rewarding because that's your baby.
It is. And me and Lori are very passionate about it. Me more because, you know, I've had it since inception, and it's just been fun for me. It's just the whole time I've been coming up with t-shirts, and a lot of the t-shirts when it first started aren't what they are now.
Yeah.
But I still have those in a little black book, you know, of all of, I think we have over 200 now, designs that we have that, you know, eventually come to life. Trying just to pick the best ones. You know, I see Nine Line and Grunt Style, and I'm just like, man, we're not as big as them, but they're I call them my competition. And Lori says, you need to stop that just because. Yeah, it is. It is. And you know, she calls me a dreamer, and a lot of these designs is just like, okay, that was clever. Like our celebrity T-shirt, that was a collaboration between me and her. I had what I wanted to say on it, and she put that one together, and it was just a beautiful collaboration. That's like the hottest seller, you know. And then this one just coming out. You know, she beautiful collaboration because all I had on this one was Democrats, you know. She was like, no, put the liberal on there. And so had her brother take a look at it too because he was Navy. Love his thought process. You'll have to have him on the podcast because.
Who's your brother?
Dave Cowan.
Oh, yeah, I met him. Yeah. That guy was great guy.
He is.
He's on the list.
Very knowledgeable, I just love him. He's just a good dude overall. So yeah, you'll definitely have to have him on the podcast. He can bring a different view and opinion.
Yeah.
On different issues going on.
I'm ready.
But yeah, he helps us out a lot too. We throw gear his way because he works for the post office and everybody sees him. So it's another way of marketing, but he loves our gear. And her dad wears our gear left and right. So it's good. It's good. Her mom, I love her mom, but she won't wear nothing with GMFD because she's very, very Christian.
Yeah.
And doesn't like the F-bomb in there, which I don't blame her. You know, there's a lot of people who don't, but there's a lot of ideas that she likes. She's just like, well, you can make me a t-shirt. Just don't put the GMFD on there. And she's the only exception to the rule. You know what I mean? She's the only one I'll do that for. And so... it's just been beautiful, even marrying into the family, you know. They remind me of the Duck Dynasty family. And I said it in my retirement because, like, later on today, we'll be there. They do dinner birthdays. So now they're just combining all of them because it's kind of hard to have three or four and everybody's doing something different, you know, food-wise. But basically what they do is they have their birthday months and they say, what do you want to eat? What do you want for dessert? Or you guys can talk about it, let me know. And we sit there and we pray at the table, you know, before every meal. And it just reminds me of Duck Dynasty family.
That's so cool.
It's been good, man. It's been good. 3 years, me and Lori have been together for going on into our fifth year. And we just finally decided, okay, you know what? We've been doing this business, running it. You know, we've had our ups and downs and if we can run a business together, shit, we will be perfect in marriage. So we just decided, okay, let's go and do a small one right now. And I said, we can do a big one. I said, it just makes that diamond even smaller.
Yeah.
Well, you can get the big diamond and have a little wedding, and we just did the courthouse thing. This is my third. This is her second. So we just figured, hey, we're in our 40s. We don't give a shit. We're not out there chasing tail. You know, we've been running this business, and it's been nothing but good for us. So I think that's what keeps us balanced and humble. She keeps me more humble than anything, because half the time I'm sitting there stirring stuff up. And I do. She is right, and I love her for that. And I think it's just okay. We get out to taking this business elsewhere. We'll still have her presence here, because we'll come back. Her parents are from Mulvane, so we'll come back and do shows here, and we'll still have our audience here. I don't want to just let it go, you know what I mean? And, oh, hey, we're gone now, bye. We'll still come back and do, like, the Riverfest, the Automobilias, the Workroom when we get a chance to. But it'll be limited, because we'll probably come back home every other month, or, you know, just so she can be with her family. My family is going to have to fly into Jefferson City or wherever, Springfield, to come up there and see me. But it'll be fun, though. It'll be fun getting it to. I felt like I was in New York, kind of like what they talk about in New York, that it's everything is just fast. We got out there to Osage Beach, and everything was just fast. And I was just like, okay, this is going to take off beautifully here. So we'll see where it takes us. It'll
awesome,
be good.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I'll let you go. We've already been at it for an hour here, but thanks for stopping by. It was fun. Hey,
thanks for having me. Like I said, you'll have to get Dave Cowan on here. He'll bring a different light to other issues. Yeah.
I'm pumped.
I'll tell him about it. And again, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
Hope I...
Thanks for listening to the American Heritage Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with your friends. Also, if you wouldn't mind, please consider being a donor. You can click on the support tab at the bottom of the show notes of this episode and every other episode. If you do that, you'll help offset some of the costs that come along with podcasting. Also, I will give a percentage of the proceeds straight back to homeless veterans via the Passageways LTD organization. They help homeless veterans get off the streets once and for all. So consider being a donor today. Once again, thanks for listening.